All right, it really is time for praises now, so you can get official with your praises. So who wants to be number one?
I quit my job. Praise the Lord. I quit.
Been
going in and working on cars.
Yeah, that part.
I thought of you this week. I can't remember where it was, but there was a...
Oh, I'm sure it was a Chevy on the side of the road or something.
No, it was a Pontiac Firebird sitting in a driveway with a for sale sign on it. It was black. It looked like it was straight off showroom floor. And I thought of you again whenever we were coming back from Bryan. We were driving alongside a red Formula Trans Am. Obviously, it had been completely restored. It had an incredible paint job on it. It was just red. It was standard. Everything on it was stock. The wheels were stock. Everything was stock. But it looked, it was all in brand new condition.
And you thought of me?
I thought of Daryl. Pontiac Firebird, a Phoenix on the hood type thing, you know. So,
love it.
Yeah. No accounting for taste, though, you know.
I have two of those left. I sold every rest of them. I got two left.
Yeah. All right. Who else? Praises. Well, I'll go then if nobody else is going to go. I got to spend a couple of days up in the country with my oldest son, and I got a deer. So it's a successful hunt. And a squirrel. And a squirrel. I've been wanting to kill a squirrel up there because I found a recipe on YouTube that it turned out like what my mom used. She used to cook squirrel. And, of course, mom cooked on a wood stove that I split the wood for my whole growing up kid. You know, it was all in cast iron skillet and wood stove. And they'd send me out hunting, you know. And I'd give me 10 22 shells. And I better come back with meat.
Come back with one or two.
Yeah, one or two. They get around the side of the limb, and sometimes you only have about that much to shoot. That's all this one gave me, was about that much to shoot. I got him on the first shot, though. But anyway, she would cook that squirrel, and I never could remember how she did it or what she did. All I remember was that it took a long time to get it tender. And she kept putting water in, you know, and leaving it on the stove and let it steam. And finally, it would be all gravy and squirrel, and it'd just fall off the bone. She gets so tender. But I've never been able to duplicate that. But I think I found a recipe, and I wanted to try it. And we'll see how that goes. I only have better part of a squirrel to work with right now. So
that's good. That's good.
Lisa.
I get a week off of work.
Yay.
Praise the Lord.
No, well, I get a week off of work, too. No, I worked hard this week so that I can take next week off with no guilt. Because I'm that responsible person that feels guilty all the time if I take any time off.
I do, too.
So I earned it.
Yeah. I don't.
Right.
I don't have a problem feeling guilty about if I'm not working hard enough. Overcame that years ago. So. Joshua, what's your praise?
Praise the Lord for having... gas in the house, keep the house warm when it's cold.
Amen. Well, if it gets cold. This isn't cold.
Oh, this is cold for me. Anything 170 is cold.
Oh, yeah, this ain't cold.
Yeah. Hi, Sherry. Who you got dragging along behind there?
It's Kissy.
Hi, kid.
That is Lisa.
Probably
you got 16. All right. Who else? Praises.
I've got Brenda? 3 more weeks, then my new granddaughter will be here.
3 more weeks. Wow. Carrie said he's going to become a grandpa by tomorrow. So he's got a grandchild coming.
Oh, wow. That's my granddaughter.
Sherry?
My daughter and grandkids and a friend of them comes not with me last night, and they're all going to be here. My great-grandson, Jalen, is going to be here.
Cool. It looks like... Along the line of that kind of praise, it looks like most of our kids are going to show up this week for Thanksgiving.
No, all our kids.
Well, I know, but you know.
Zach is even coming from.
Yeah, that's cool. Sherry?
That's another praise. This will be the first year that I am cooking Thanksgiving since my divorce.
Well, it's about time. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, in a house.
Yeah. All good. All good. Anybody else? Amanda.
My unsaved family stepped in a church yesterday. My carpet didn't catch on fire.
I saw everybody smiling in there. I didn't see anybody that was frowning or grumpy. So it all looked good. Looked good. I even got the water fountain fixed in the gym.
What was wrong with it?
I took this wet vac and vacuumed out the drain. It works perfectly.
That little tablet that you put in your line in the air conditioning so it doesn't overrun the pan, can you use that in the...
No. Okay. No. It's got a little tiny line about the size of your little finger. There's Clarissa.
I have one more praise. I appreciate all the help yesterday cleaning up.
That's cool. That's cool.
It was good.
Yeah. Well, it feels pretty good in here to me. I'm not cold this morning. I'm doing well. Who else? Other praises. Okay, all right, here we go.
It's not the one I originally thought of because I can't remember that one, but just the ability that Josh and I have to help our neighborhood and everybody that, you know, we've offered to with smoking turkeys or smoking meats or anything like that for them, because we offer it every year during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and our neighborhood is always super, super appreciative because there are a lot of older people and they don't want to try to cook a turkey. They don't want to do this or that, or they just can't. So for us to be able to do that, it's awesome. Because one lady actually brings us a lot of meat that she takes and feeds the homeless with every holiday.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think it's amazing, too. I got two.
That's good.
I'm going to bring them up here tonight. Put them here. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Dallas.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. There's plenty of room.
Let me tell you, so cooking one turkey on a 600-gallon propane tank pit really just feels lonely.
Yeah.
it feels so strong. Lonely turkey. I don't know if those turkeys can feel lonely after they get on the pit.
I'm going to bring mine up here tomorrow, or today, this afternoon.
Okay.
Put them in the refrigerator, already seasoned and everything.
All right.
That made another praise. I'm going to go see my family I hadn't seen in a year. Pretty much to the day.
Cool.
Thanksgiving, we go all gather in Nacogdoches.
Madisonville.
North Zulch.
Okay.
Which is over by Madisonville.
Okay.
No, on Wednesday night, you can take it with you. Feed everybody.
Because they've got a...
They got
humongous.
You need to pump the brakes.
There's like 100 of us, you know, so there's going to be...
That's a lot of turkey. Yeah.
They'll be trying to send me home.
All right, man, you had your hand up again, right?
Yeah.
Did you or not?
Oh, yeah. I had 5 years off of narcotics in October, and I'll have 2 years off of alcohol December 12th.
Awesome.
Which is a big deal.
Praise the Lord.
Yay.
Cool. Cool. Lisa, you had your hand up.
Yeah, a couple of things. We cook every Thanksgiving because it's our favorite holiday and our favorite theme park. So we like to do that. But this year, all six of our kids are coming, which is amazing. And then I get to go to Austin to a Christmas orchestra event with... it's nice when your grown kids call and say, hey, I want to do something together for Christmas. Can you come up?
That's cool.
Yeah, so in a couple of weeks, I will be there for a Friday night.
All right, good. There were others. Who's next? I saw another hand or two. No, that's it.
Christmas parade's coming.
Okay, all right. We're going to talk about pride today.
I'm praising and bragging.
Praise for the ladies here.
Yeah.
And that family isn't blood.
Yep. It looked like I showed up kind of after it was over mostly, but it looked like a pretty cool event went on. So that was good. Okay. Anybody else? Last? Going once? Twice? No? Yes? Okay. We are to verse 23. we're going to spend our lesson today on verse 23. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When I teach basic Bible truths, one of the illustrations that I use is, I've got that school zone illustration that's in the book that always seems to really do the job about pointing out to people that works is, that good outweighing your bad is a ridiculous concept. Even human judges would laugh at it because it's, when I'm teaching people about someone comes along and offers to pay my fine, to pay the debt that I owe, because I don't have the money to do it. And because of pride, in the illustration, I'm not willing to let someone else do that because of pride. And one of the comments that I always make in a Bible class is that everybody's got a problem with pride. Some just worse than others. And one of the scriptures that are about this is, well, first of all, before we get to that, I want to take you to the Psalms and show you some other situations about this. Within verse 23 here, you're going to see the issue of pride, but you're also going to see what is the opposite of pride. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the what?
Humble.
The humble in spirit. Humility is the opposite of pride. Do you know anyone that has a problem because they're too humble? It's pretty hard to find someone that you could consider too humble. If we're not seeing people who are abundant in humility, then pride must be more common and worse than maybe we thought. Because if you're not humble, what are you?
Pride. One or the other.
You're proud. You're one or the other. And you're kind of going in that direction. Pretty much every time you turn around, if you're not watching it, what is this? What is pride? What does this word mean? It's a Hebrew gavah. Anybody know what it means? You look it up. What are you going to see? What's it going to say?
Arrogance.
Arrogance is pretty common. Arrogance can be exhibited by your words. Arrogance can be exhibited in your body language. What's the most common body language of pride or arrogance?
Maybe this.
Yeah.
Nose in the air.
Yeah. Everybody knows what it looks like. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows about the nose. Probably have seen it in the mirror before.
Uh-oh. But everybody doesn't stick their nose up in the air that it's proud, so I mean it's not always.
Well, I say that it's exhibited by body language. That's not the only one. That's just the one we commonly associate with arrogance. Is there something that sometimes looks like pride or arrogance, but is not? And I don't mean it's snot. I mean it's not. I'm talking about the nose again. What trait is commonly mistaken for arrogance?
Confidence.
Confidence. Is confidence a good one? Good trait or a
yes.
Bad trait?
Good.
Everything's in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Confidence. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. And also, if it is rightly placed. Some people exhibit confidence in things that they ought not to be confident about.
Yeah, like preteen girls.
Like, say it again.
Like preteen girls. They already know how to do everything. They don't need you to...
They better hurry up and move out and get on their own and pay their own bills when they forget.
Yeah. What do they say about Texas? What is that?
Best place to live.
You know, well, what is verbal arrogance like?
What?
Huh?
Cocky.
Cocky.
What? Texas, that's
what I hear?
Bragging.
Bragging.
Maybe like you know everything.
Yeah.
Maybe what?
Maybe like when you know everything, you always have an answer.
Unteachable.
You act like you know.
Okay. Is it good for someone to always have an answer?
No.
It's not?
No, because if you always have an answer,
well, okay.
You can never hear the question. Does that make sense?
Okay, so are you to have an answer or to state an answer? Two different
things. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to think you know something.
That's the problem. Think
no matter what.
Is it a good thing to know the answer?
Actually, no, yes, but not think you know.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. Now that's the difference. All right, that's the difference in the appearance of confidence versus arrogance. Now in Texas, they say it ain't bragging if it's true. I don't know that that's actually right. I didn't say it was in the Bible, but it sounds really cute. But, you know how things sound sometimes. All things that are wrong, which arrogance would be one, for sure, they have consequences. What do you think is the worst of the consequences that come from arrogance or pride? What would you consider to be a really serious consequence of pride?
People not liking you?
Oh, actually, people not liking you most of the time is a good thing.
Maybe hurting somebody's feelings through conversation, like somebody you care about, and you're just being arrogant as all get out, say, to like a family member or a spouse, and then in turn, you end up hurting them for worse?
Well, that's certainly a problem. Before we go to that, I wanted to read you a verse of scripture about not people not liking you. This is the last verse of this chapter 29. That's the reason it's very familiar, because I've just been going over it. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Are there more just, righteous people or more unjust, wicked people in this world?
Unjust, wicked.
A lot more wicked people.
Like people who aren't your friends anymore because you know the Lord now and you don't care.
So if you know the Lord and a lot of people don't like you, probably is a good thing. Now, I was going to take you to Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, and I'll ask you your opinion of this. I wanted you to see what I think is probably the worst consequence that I have found of pride. This is talking about the wicked and associating them with pride in most of these early verses here in chapter 10. Let's just start reading with verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Puffeth at them. Is that not an illustration of arrogance? I guess that's what puffeth sounds like. But the consequence of pride that I'm talking about here is that because of his pride, he will not seek after God. Pride is really an issue when it comes to people in rejection of the Lord. Most of you came to the Lord as adults, I don't know, I'm looking for anybody here that might have came to the Lord as a child, but came to the Lord as adults. And you would know something about what was holding you back and what took you so long. You probably know something about that. You probably remember something about that. Well, Lisa's saying no, but...
Well, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Well, yeah. And it's not always pride that keeps people from coming to the Lord or seeking the Lord. Sometimes it's ignorance.
That's me.
Right.
Ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance means you don't know.
But sometimes ignorance is bliss, too, because you don't want to know some of this stuff.
Well, that would be the pride part.
That's the pride?
Yeah. We're talking about pride and how that it... It says here, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. That holds people back from seeking the Lord a lot of the time.
Yeah, especially when you're an adult. I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
You know, you've been on this earth for 35 years and heard them...
Or...
Like, you know...
Or you don't want to admit that what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. A fella you'll be introduced to... Got saved at 73, yeah. A week ago, last week.
It's awesome. And other Christians rejoice, yeah. But when you have that pride issue,
yeah,
you
know, yeah. You can stumble. And it wasn't because he didn't know about it. There were just issues, and pride plays into it so much sometimes. Lisa,
a lot of y'all haven't did never meet Larry Moody, but he was an he's moved away now after his wife passed, but he and his wife both had cancer, and they moved out to this area and came to church. And he is a Marine. He was a POW in Korea. He's a tough guy. And he got saved when he was 83 years old. God doesn't just leave you there, you know. He called me about 6 months ago.
Oh,
you know what he said? I wish I'd never left.
You haven't been happy. We had another lady that was 65 that grew up in church, and I think it was her dad was a pastor or something, and she thought she was saved all the time and had realized after hearing the basic Bible truths that she wasn't and got saved here. Yeah. I can't remember what her name was.
Well, there have been many, actually.
Yeah. I was 61, and I grew up in church. I was nursery director and vacation Bible school when my kids were young. I thought I was saved, and so I went to the Bible groups.
You're a really good example of this.
You're asking.
You really are. I know of dozens of times that you heard the gospel from me, not to mention whoever else.
It took years and years.
And when it hits, it always has power. But what holds you back? Well, I grew up in church. Well, I know about Jesus. Well, pride almost always starts with a single syllable word. I. Almost always. If you're starting a sentence with I, you're probably messing up something along the rest of that sentence somewhere. Pride is what keeps people from seeking after God a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the time. But pride also imprisons you. I'm going to read to you Psalm 73:6. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. I'm doing okay. I got money in the bank. I'm good at what I do. I'm eating pretty good. That next verse says their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. Psalm 73:7, but the 6 is the point. pride compasseth them as about a chain. You're imprisoned in this being held back from seeking the Lord because your pride makes you feel like you've already got it all and you already know it all and you've arrived, and but it is like a prison. Now, what, Lisa?
There are also, when people get caught in pride, like you can see something that somebody's doing that is not going to be good for them or for their family or for the church or for their business or whatever. And when they're proud, when there's a certain degree of pride, they won't listen to you, and they'll say, well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Like, they might be going to see their friends that and stuff like that, and you know that's in their past and they shouldn't be going and doing that at all, and they always get caught
in and the consequences. There are always consequences, and they're almost always worse than you assumed it would be. Gilbert?
Pride is the senses of Satan. That was Lucifer's fall.
Yeah, he's the original. Yeah. Now, what is contention? Contention is contention. It's people going at each other, arguing, fighting. It's contention. Is there a lot of contention in the world?
Yep.
Oh, a lot. I mean, in every aspect, governments, homes, families, corporations, businesses, contention. Don't raise your hand and don't speak up. Is there any contention going on in your family right now? That contention is pretty much everywhere you look. Contention. When people fight, see, we got more husbands and wives in here. We got more wives today. When people fight, there's only one cause for it.
Pride.
There's only one cause. You say, well, he's wrong and I'm right. He's wrong and what's the next word?
I.
What difference does it make? Somebody is always wrong, and probably more than half the time it's you.
Well, there are three sides, his way, her way, and God's way. So.
Well, what I want you to see and understand here, and if you will get this from today's class and never forget it, it will really help you the next time you're in the middle of a verbal brawl or some other kind.
Like assault?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. If you two put two people together who are humble, they're never going to fight. They're not going to fight. Josh?
I say that the hardest thing, which would be being humble, would be if you're right, be quiet.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest.
Yeah.
But that's being humble versus being proud.
Yeah.
Some people you can debate with or have a conversation with, you know, and arrive at a conclusion together, you know, but some people, it's just going to be a fight.
Well, and the reason for that, there's only one reason for that. There's just one. It's right there, verse 10.
Okay.
Only by pride cometh contention.
Sometimes it's not the person, sometimes it's the other person that's got the pride, not the person that you're talking to, but you yourself. So, yeah, sometimes it's...
Well, you know, it takes...
...a person in that situation. That's what
Exactly.
I don't know how to be the bigger person because I'm a hothead. And I don't know what I mean? I don't know how to be the bigger person.
You
Joshua, go ahead.
The answer to that is edify or be quiet, right?
Yeah, edify or shut up. That's scripture, absolutely.
What is edify?
To build up.
I am often asked, what am I doing wrong? How come I'm always in this fight, da-da-da-da-da-da-da? It's common, and pastors always ask about how to solve the problem. And if you're one of the people that have asked me, believe me, you're not the Lone Ranger. There's been a lot more than you. But the normal, the short solution is this. It takes two people to fight. Choose to not be one. Just don't do it. And that won't necessarily make the fight go away. Matter of fact, if you do that, the person you're fighting with, they're going to get madder at you than they were before. Yes. Probably.
You need to actually discuss.
Sometimes, not always, but go ahead, Amanda.
There is an Al-Anon saying, and I don't know if it's right, and I don't see how people can implement this in the moment, but they teach you to, like, put out the fuse. You know, honey, you may be right. Even if, like, you don't mean it.
Even if you don't mean it? Well, that's called lying from the Bible. But so, yeah. Actually, there's a lot of Al-Anon sayings that have been kind of moved a little bit. Most of it's pretty good.
There are a lot of tools to be able to get
a lot of tools.
Be proud and to handle your own pride.
Kind of goes with what we was talking about last week. Sometimes it's just walk away and pray about it. And it's not as bad as...
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Well.
That's what I was just going to ask, is like, how do you, like, not... Like Mom says, how do you get the strength to just turn around and walk away?
You just have to...
It comes... All right, let me give you an illustration, okay? I'll give you something to compare it with. Forgiveness. Do you have a problem with forgiveness? Get forgiven people? How do you forgive somebody that's really hurt you or whatever?
I ask God to help me forgive
them this week.
Forgiveness is not something God can do for you.
But you give it to
them. The way you forgive someone is you just do it. You don't have to like them. You don't have to condone what they did or didn't do. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is go before the Lord. And I counsel people to do it out loud so Satan can hear, because he can't see your heart like God does. Let him hear. Lord, I forgive Josh for what he did to me.
Do we have to tell that person?
No.
Because most of the time, the person you're forgiving doesn't even want your forgiveness.
They can care less about it.
But it's like love. You can forgive them whether they like it or not. And you just do it. So how do you handle the contention? How do you get the strength to walk away? You just walk away. It's not rocket science. Well, Clarissa.
A lot of times when you forgive somebody, you let go of that, and then that enables God to move.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, he's not going to move while you're trying to, like, wrestle with this person. And also, I liked what Josh said. I think it was like last week, and he was talking about meekness, and that helps me a lot, because just because I'm not going to fight with you doesn't mean that I'm weaker than you. Like,
absolutely.
I have a strength to walk away, you know, if it's not going to be beneficial for us.
Yes. Lisa.
Another thing that proud people seem to have an issue with is saying, I am sorry. And owning what they did and apologizing. And so sometimes you have to say, I think you should say, I'm sorry.
Whatever.
I would say, that's never worked for me.
I will always apologize to Robert with my words. But Robert doesn't know how to apologize with his words. Yep. His way of apologizing is he'll go buy us something, right? Or throw money at us. That's his way of apologizing. He don't actually come out with the words and be like, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Well, he never learned how to do it, but he's a man.
But is it a man or is it a non-Christian?
Let me point out something. It's probably not going to be you that teaches him to do that.
Yeah, well, I know it ain't.
But
It's been 11 years now. There ain't nothing I can teach that man anymore because he ain't willing to learn nothing else. Unless it's got a keyboard attached to it.
Okay, well, you know. Joshua.
I was going to add to the forgiveness thing. Unforgiveness is like drinking your own poison and expecting another person to get sick.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, drinking the poison, expecting the other person to get sick.
If someone, you're helping yourself, or you have a
There's a book that Josh and I are reading that has scrolls to it. Some of y'all may have heard of it, some of you may have haven't, but it's the greatest salesman in the world, right? And in each scroll, it tells you more and more about how to believe in yourself and how to carry yourself. And in the second scroll, it says, every day you wake up and you greet the world with love in your heart. You see your enemies, you greet them with love in your heart. Everything you do is with love. There is no, I can't stand you, I don't want to be around you. Because over time, the more you just show love to people that are even undeserving of it at times, the more they realize themselves that they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way to do it.
It's just like if you're and especially if a woman is disagreeing with her husband, men don't like to hear a woman's stressed voice. So, like, I can't even watch a woman newscaster because they're so dramatic and shrill and awful. So if you say what you need to say, you don't have to say it more than once. And then when you shut up, all they can hear is God. But if you're still going on, they can't hear him. They can just hear you, and they're tuning you out. So it's just say it once. You already said it. He heard it. Let God do the rest.
Is it okay to be like when you're in that moment and you're arguing, and a lot of times I can't talk to Robert when I'm angry. I can't because stuff comes out of my mouth that I don't even mean to say. It just So what I do, and Robert gets mad at me, but whenever I get so upset that I can't talk to him and I'm crying and I'm mad, I go get in my car and I'll take a drive and just take a 20-minute drive or something, just enough to cool off and calm myself down so we can actually have a conversation without yelling and screaming at
each other. That's an effective tool that you figure.
Let me suggest that you get in the car and take the drive before you get in that moment.
Before I what?
Before you get in that moment where we're arguing, and that moment's a moment that you need to avoid. It's not going to help. Has it ever helped?
What? Arguing?
Yeah.
No.
There you go. There you go. The lady. The lady of Proverbs. The lady of Proverbs. What's her name?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. That's her name. That's her name. And she is one smart lady, by the way. I want to read this to you, and then we'll close up with this. This is Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, now she's the lady, she's personified. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom, that lady that is the one that you should actually be pretty crazy about, guys, ladies too, she is, there's nothing to be compared to her value. She hates pride and arrogancy. Wisdom is the antithesis, as it were, of pride and arrogancy.